Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Sunday to everybody. And today, I have a good joke for you. There's a kid, and he's in the back of church, and he's looking at the wall, and there's these engraved names there. And he's looking, I wonder what that is. And the priest comes back. He says, Father, what are all these names? And the priest, he says, Son, these are parishioners from our parish who died in the service. And the boy, he had this look of fear. He says, the 8:30 service or the 10 o'clock service? Oh, Lord have mercy. You know, in a sense, every time we come to Mass, we die. And that's how it should be. We die to self in order to live for Christ. And that's what we ultimately celebrate is this Feast of Christ the King today. This is this happy, happy moment. Like the whole, this is the last Sunday of the church year. Next week, Advent begins, and we start a new liturgical year, year B. But today is the last Sunday of year A. And the whole of Christ's life was sort of summarized here. Because remember, even when Jesus is in the manger, here, the three kings, the kings of the world, come to pay him homage. They recognized in him, this baby, a kingship which surpasses every other kingship. And even as Jesus is on the cross, remember Pilate has the letters I-N-R-I. There's no J in Greek, you see. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. And so Christ's kingship was recognized, even when people pretended and wished that he weren't the king and saw him as a threat. His kingship was recognized the whole time. So today is this happy moment where we celebrate that Jesus Christ is alive. And he is our king. He is not just my king or your king, the king of the church, the king of the world. He's king of the whole universe. And that is what the title of this feast day is. The solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the universe. And that's why you see they've never found an end to the universe, because there isn't one. They think they get to the end of all the galaxies, and theirs turns out it keeps going. God is king of it all. And today, I just was thinking, if Jesus is the king, which he is, where is his throne? I thought of three places. His ultimate throne being in heaven, where he will judge us from. But how that judgment will go, we hear about our judgment in our gospel, how that judgment goes from the ultimate throne in heaven depends on how we reverence and serve and love and our Lord Jesus Christ in the thrones that he has here. The tabernacle, throne number one. Look at our beautiful tabernacle. Isn't it a happy thing to know that there are tabernacles around the whole world where the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, God himself, resides? And that is why there is no more beautiful sight in the world than a red sanctuary lamp, which announces to everybody who looks at it, Jesus, God is here in this place. A friend of mine had a very, very, very Catholic grandma, and they went to this. My friend is not a Catholic, but his grandma is, and they go to his church, which is not a Catholic church, and she's looking everywhere for the tabernacle, for the sanctuary lamp, and she says, "This church has no Jesus." You know, but our church does. Every Catholic church has Jesus in the tabernacle. There he is. He is here. And he is our king. He reigns from the tabernacle. In the bulletin this weekend is a little coloring sheet. And it is beautiful. It is a tabernacle with Jesus sitting on the throne in the tabernacle. He is our king. This is where the practice of genuflecting came to be. Is because we know that in here is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We genuflect in reverence to him. And we pass time in front of the King of Kings, in front of the Eucharist, so that he can begin better to rule our life, govern our life. If we don't spend time with Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, with the tabernacle or the monstrance, then bless you, he's not going to be able to direct our life because we are too busy with our own noise and sounds and other things. and we're not putting ourselves at his disposal and say, you take over my life. The thrones of the tabernacle. By the way, this is a happy day because at St. Vincent, the tabernacle was in the middle from 1837 until 1981. And then when their high altars came out and all of that, then Jesus was put in the back. That was a thing in the 80s. People did it where they were a little cuckoo. And people started to hide the tabernacles in Catholic churches. Thank God it didn't happen here. It happened in many places. Anyway, so St. Vincent's tabernacle is now right in the middle where he belongs. His throne has returned in this year of the Eucharistic revival, and he is in the middle where you would expect to find the throne of your king. The second throne, the poor. Jesus has all, the heart of Jesus gravitates towards the lost sheep, the 99, but then remember the one, and that's where the shepherd goes. And the heart of Jesus gravitates to the sinner, to the lost one, to the wounded one, to the one that doesn't fit, to the poor one, the hungry one, the thirsty one, the naked one, the ill one. The heart of Jesus gravitates there, which is where we have the Catholic social teaching that is so important, is the preferential option for the poor. Because not only does Jesus really, really love these folks, which is us sometimes, but he identifies himself with them. And he says, when you take care of a poor person, you're taking care of me. When you care about a lost, you're serving me. When you're taking care of someone who is naked or a stranger or ill or in prison, you are actually serving me, your king, in them. And this is huge because I think I was reflecting earlier. I thought, I'm very careful and reverent in how I receive Jesus at Mass with the Eucharist. I make sure there's no particles on my hand after I touch the Blessed Sacrament, which we all should do. I bow, I genuflect, my knee hits the ground. I'm very careful. I'm very reverent, very pious, as we must be with the Blessed Sacrament, because that is the King of Kings. But I got to pray and I thought, do I receive the poor, Jesus in the poor, as reverently and piously as I receive him in the Blessed Sacrament? And I had to say no. And I have a lot of work to do there. We probably all do. Because the King of Kings is in these people. And a big part of our judgment, the judgment day, is how well did you care for them? How well did you care for Jesus in them? My spiritual director, Father Joe, I told this story before, I think, but I love it, because he and I were in Indianapolis, and it was winter time, and a homeless man comes up, and in the wretchedness of my heart, I thought, oh, geez, he wants money, you know. And Father Joe just took his coat off and gave it to the man without even really thinking about it. The man didn't even ask for it or anything. And Father Joe said, you look very cold. Take this coat. And in serving that man, Father Joe served Jesus Christ, the King, ministered to the needs of the King. And that act, which he probably has forgotten all about, will be remembered to him on the day of his judgment. The third throne of our Lord, the throne of our will. Do we let Jesus sit on the throne of our will? That's a big one. That's a big one. Because it never ceases to amaze me how many big decisions people make in their lives. Lots of big decisions. Without consulting the King. Without asking, Jesus, is this okay or not? And if it's not, I won't do it. If it is, I'll do it. How many times people make humongous decisions in their lives, big ones, and they never consult the teachings of Jesus and conform their lives to them. And he is our King. He's either King of everything or King of nothing. And I think a lot of people, we put religion on, like Pope Francis said, we put our religion on like a little badge. Like, oh, it's convenient, I'll put it on right now. But the moment religion becomes inconvenient, forget about it. No. Pope Francis said the badge has to be so ingrained in your soul and in your body that you, if you were to pluck it off, you would kill yourself. It would just, because so much a part of it is you, and it and you, and that has to be our king. We don't just fit Jesus in when it's convenient. For Mass, for example, we serve him all of the time. Our whole week is around that. But the big decisions in our lives, even the small ones, we look and has to, Jesus is the king of our will, has to sit on the throne of our will. Thy will be done, Lord, not my will. Thy will be done. And the beautiful thing that happens here in the gospel is that both the righteous ones and the unrighteous ones are confused at their judgment, because the righteous ones are like, when did I see you hungry and take care of you, get your food? When did I see you thirsty? And when did I see you naked and give you? They don't even remember, because Jesus was sitting on the throne of their will and they just did it. And Jesus did it through them. And then the unrighteous ones are like, wait a minute. When did I see you hungry and not give you food? When did I? Because they were living in sin. And Jesus was not sitting on the throne of their will. They were sitting on the throne of their will. And they were so blinded to everything else because they were so consumed with their will instead of his. And that's the thing, is when we surrender our will so much to the will of Jesus that we allow him to sit on the throne of our life and make every decision for us, eventually we're so entwined that we don't even have to really check. We don't have to think about it, because we're just, he's doing it all through us. And it's the most fabulous thing. We all have work to do. The ultimate throne is in heaven, and that's where our judgment will take place. Jesus will look and he will see, how did we reverence him? How did we serve him? How did we love him in the throne of the Blessed Sacrament? In the throne of the poor and in the throne of our will. Our judgment will be based on that. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.